and I don't know if we can finish it all in one night. But let me give you a little bit of background, because there's a question here that we want to raise. We can divide up the mitzvot of Hashem into two categories. The logical mitzvot, those that seem moral, they seem rational, perhaps universal, they apply to every nation. And then there are those mitzvot that really defy our imagination, our understanding, our logic. We believe that Hashem, who commanded us, has some logic. There's rhyme and reason to it, but it may not be apparent to us. Can you think of any examples off the top of your head of mitzvot that don't seem to make any sense?
Kashrus,
yeah. Why can't we eat seafood, and why can't we eat animals that died without shechita?
Tzitzis,
yeah. Strings on the, you know, on the corners of your garments. Right. What about something like paraduma? You remember that?
Right.
So that would be a classic example.
Yeah.
So just shoot from the hip and tell me where you think kibud av v'em would fit in. Would that be a logical mitzvah?
Without a doubt.
And something that every nation of the world could appreciate and relate to, right? In fact, there might be a difference in halacha between a logical mitzvah and a mitzvah which is just a defined decree, gzeiras hakos, that goes beyond logic. When we recite a bracha on a mitzvah, every mitzvah gets a bracha, and we say asher kidshanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu, what we might be expressing here in those words is the fact that we, the Jewish nation, have been sanctified with a special kedusha, and therefore as a result of that unique kedusha that we have, Vitzivanu, you've commanded us on this mitzvah. But take a mitzvah which is logical, a mitzvah which is rational, which is universal. It doesn't really express that concept of asher kidshanu b'mitzvos of the special sanctity of the Jewish people.
Right.
And the question is it possible that the reason why, let's say in the case of chesed, you know, we do acts of kindness which are morally right and make sense, we don't make a bracha on them. There's no asher kidshanu mitzvos of tzivanu al bikur cholim, al nichum aveilim, al halva, you know, extending a loan. These are all so logical that it really is not appropriate to say thank you God for sanctifying us and elevating us to the special level such that we were commanded in this particular mitzvah, because maybe the mitzvah is something that every nation on the face of the earth would adopt and express. And if we apply that full swing around to kibud av v'em, well, my father asked me for a cup of tea, do I make a bracha asher kidshanu mitzvos of tzivanu al mitzvos kibud av v'em? No such bracha. Why not? So what I'd like to begin with here is the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Epstein, lived about a century ago, and in a sense he was kind of a parallel contemporary to the Mishnah Berurah of the Chafetz Chaim. So for Ashkenazic Jews, the Mishnah Berurah wrote his work, and the Aruch HaShulchan wrote his. Some of the Aruch HaShulchan fell a little bit into the shadows. But those who study, I don't know if you've ever gotten a chance to study them.
Everyone focuses on Mishnah
Berurah. Mishnah Berurah, but the Aruch HaShulchan is wonderful. Why? Because he gives you...
He's more Miko.
Oh, that too. Yeah. But he gives you logic. He gives you a little background. He introduces you. You know, there's a structure. It's a form. The Chafetz Chaim very rarely gives you an introduction. No. Only on occasion, rare occasion. So the Aruch HaShulchan in Hilchos Kibud Av V'Em, which is incorporated into Shulchan Aruch Yerideya, gives an introduction to Kibud Av V'Em. He speaks about how it's a positive mitzvah, a great mitzvah, and we'll get into that a little bit later. And then in the second se'if, where I bolded it, he says, Kibud Av V'Em hi mea mitzvos ha-sichlios. Sichlios meaning, what do we mean by that? Logical, it's seichel. You know, the human mind would dictate this mitzvah even had the Torah not commanded us. V'nis pashto v'chol v'loshon. And it has spread for every nationality and every people on the face of the earth. For gamma kofer by Torah, even those who deny the Torah, nizharim ba mipnei seichel, they're very careful about this because of its logic. Vateva, and its natural appeal. But he says, Vanachnu am b'nei Yisrael nitztavinu al kol mitzvah sichlis libli lasoto mipnei seichel. Oh, it's a very important introduction. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, we should not be motivated to perform the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em because of the logic. You know, if you ask me what my motivation is my answer, well, I'm doing it because it's logical? Because it makes sense? Oh no, that's not our approach. But rather, El Mipnei Tzivui HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Torah, given by Hashem, commands us to do the mitzvah. Val Zeh Nemar. And therefore the Torah says, V'haya Ekev Tishma'un Et HaMishpatim Ha'ele. First he says, Tishma'un, you should hear them. Hearing means to obey them, really. Not just physically to hear them. And Mishpatim means those that are logic. To be Kodem K'tiv, and before that it says, Ushmartem Et HaChukim Ve'et HaMishpatim. The Torah introduces this pasuk by saying, you shall observe both the statutes and the ordinances. Ulazeh Omer, V'haya Ekev Tishma'un Et HaMishpatim Ha'ele. Klomar, Dachukim Vadai Tasu Mivnei Shatem Shom'im L'Kol Lishmiah, refers to obeying. So certainly we're obedient, and that's why we fulfill the chukim that are not logical. Avali Karas Charu, what do we get rewarded for? Shegama Mishpatim, even the Mishpatim which makes sense to us, Hema Mitzvot HaSichyot Ta'asu Mivnei Shmiah, do it because you're obeying God. Do it L'Shem Shamayim, for the sake of the mitzvah. Klomer b'nei shani mitzaveh otchem v'lo mipnei ha-seichel. V'zeu shamar David, he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, Magi dvarv li-Yakov chukov mishpatim li-Yisrael. And why does David HaMelech combine and integrate both chukim and mishpatim? Because both should emulate from the same original source. We motivated to do them, not because of the logic of the mishpat, but because everything is a chok. And based on this introduction, the Aruch HaShulchan goes a step further in Se'if Gimel, and he wants to suggest that perhaps there's a difference between the first set of the Aseret HaDibrot and the second. The first was given in Parshas Yisro, the second in Parshas Vaschanon and Sefer Dvarim. Then in the second set it says Kabed Es Avicha Vesimecha, and it adds four words. You know, I would ask you to underline these four words. If I don't know if you have a pen or you could borrow mine. You could underline the words Kasha Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. Those four words do not appear in Parshas Yisro in the first round. Why does the Torah add the words Kasha Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, as I have commanded you? Chloma, what this means is Lo techabdem, don't honor your parents with a Shasechel Gozerken, because your logical mind implores you to do so, or decreed you to do so, or wants you to do so. Ella, but rather, kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. The first set of the Aseret HaDibros, the Jews were on a very high level. There was no need to add those words. But already, you know, three books of the Chumash later, after all the different trials and tribulations, and they were no longer on that level, they needed that extra push. And if the Torah injected those extra three words, kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, do it because God has commanded you. And now we get to the punchline in Tziv Dalet. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, V'yesha Shalu, there are those who ask, Lama ein mevarchim al mitzvah zu? Why is there no bracha for this mitzvah? And you can ask the same question, he says, with regard to tzedakah, to giving gifts to the poor, gemilat chasadim, right? Something like Chai Lifeline, all that kind of stuff that we do, and we don't make a bracha on it. So in the next line, who knows what these abbreviations are? I'm just sort of quizzing you a little bit. Lamed Ayin Nun Dalet. Have you ever seen that before? Ula Aniyut Da'ati. That's a humble way of saying a chiddush, something new that appears to me. Nira, it appears, the Kavan, since the Chal'um V'Lashon Osim Otam, every nation on the face of the earth fulfills these mitzvot, whether it's Chesed, Stoko, or Kibud Av V'Em. Nehi, even though I grant you, he says, Shosim Mipnei HaSeichel, they're motivated because of the logic, the moral compulsion, and we, for a different reason, because God has commanded us. But Mikomakom, nevertheless, he says, Kevan Diba Asiya, in the action itself, Shavim Heim, we're identical. There's no difference between our fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em and that of all the nations. Now, what difference does it make if you're Jewish or you're not Jewish? It depends. In the external action, you can't tell the difference. If you talk about the motivation, why am I motivated to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em? It's not because of the seichel. It's not because it's logically appealing to me. But because, as the Torah says, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem, there's no difference between Mishpatim, which are logical, and Chukim, I do it because God commanded me. But that's only inside. That's only in my mind, in my heart. But externally, it's identical to that which the Umos HaOlam, every nation of the earth, does. Kevan Deba'asiyah, Shavim Heim, they're equal to us. Vahefresh Urak, the only difference between the Goyim and us is B'machshava Shebelev. She'elu, because we, the Jewish people, Osim Ibn Tzihu Yakarish Baruch Hu, to fulfill God's will, Kavet Avicha V'timecha. V'elu, but the rest of the world, Mipnei Asechel. But again, externally, do you see a difference between the two? Like soon we're going to talk about Don Ben Asina, that he didn't want to wake up his father and so forth and so on. He was not Jewish. So he did exactly what we would have done in that case, hopefully. Lo tiknu bracha al zeh. There's no institution of a bracha on such an act. Why? Sheyomru, that a person could declare, Asher kidshanu v'mitzvoto v'tzivanu, that the action that I am going to implement now is a reflection and expression of the special, unique kedusha, the sanctity of the Jewish nation. It's not, because even a non-Jew would have implemented the same action. So again, the mitzvah and the bracha has to be attached to the action. Every action of a mitzvah requires a bracha, but only if that action is unique to the Jewish people. So if I wear tzitzit, the goyim don't wear tzitzit, that's our mitzvah. If I wear tefillin, I make a bracha. But chesed and tzedakah and kibud av v'em, where it's identical, there's no bracha.
Logical reason?
I don't know. What do you say, Eitan? You have any... In parentheses, he talks about Shiruach HaKein. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah. Oh,
I didn't read that because the Emes Tzarech Levarch. He says Shiruach HaKein. Shiruach HaKein, which is not necessarily logical, because again, you just shoo away the mother, you send away the mother, you take the fledgling birds, the little young fledglings. That's not logical. I mean, again, if I need the little birds, that's one thing. But I don't even have to need them. I could just send away the mother and fulfill this mitzvah.
Right.
And there's a mishnah in Masechta Brachos, and anyone says Ad kan yagiru rachamecha al shiluach hakein is mishaskino. So if a person says that the reason for this mitzvah shiluach hakein is because God is compassionate, then we ask him to shut up. We don't know what the reason for shiluach hakein is. There's so many details about when it applies and how it applies that you cannot attribute it just to the divine compassion. And therefore we would make a bracha on this, because Shiluach HaKein becomes a mitzvah that's unique to the Jewish people. Asher kidshanu mitzvos, meaning the act of the mitzvah expresses the unique sanctity of the Jewish people. But if we had a mitzvah which would apply to non-Jews as Jews as well, and there's no difference in the way they implement the action the way we do, the Aruch HaShulchan's contention is, his premise is, we don't make a bracha. And I thought this was a fascinating introduction to the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, because at the end of the day, I'd like to ask you the following question. Is the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em logical? So I want you to keep that question in your back pocket. I don't want you to give a shoot from the hip kind of answer at this point, but rather I want to go through some of the sources with you and see if our mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em is logical, is moral, is identical to that which is common amongst all the nations of the face of the earth. Okay? So we'll start with the Gemara in Kiddushin. Tana Rabban, let's see how the Torah views parents. This is the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed. We're learning Kiddushin, but I don't know if we're going to get Daf
Lamed, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'd have to stay in Toronto for a decade for that. Tana Rabban. We learned in a brisa, and slow me down if I go too fast. Nemar kaved es avicha v'simecha. V'nemar, and it says kaved es Hashem mehoncha. So notice the similarity in structure of the two psukim. That gives us what's called a gzeira shava, some sort of an equation. And the Gemara says, and once again, I would ask you to underline the next few words. Hishva hakosuv kibud avaim l'kvod hamokom. The Torah has equated the honor and the respect that one has to have for parents with the honor and respect that he has to have for Makom. Who's the Makom? Hashem himself. And therefore it says, Kavanes Hashem, Kavanes Avich Vasimecha. Wow. This is not, you know, this is not a low-level type of kavod. You know, there are all sorts of types of kavod in halacha. You have to give kavod to an elder person, you have to give kavod to a wise person, but I never saw Hishva Kasiv Kvodam L'Kvodam Makom. And it goes beyond that. Nemar, it says, Ish Imo V'Oviv Tiro, we have to revere our parents. V'Nemar, an almost identical pasuk in Dvarim, it says, Es Hashem Elokecha Tiro, once again, Tiro, the same word of Yira, of reverence. Hishva Kasuv Moras Av'Eim L'Moras HaMokom. The reverence that we have for our parents can only be compared to that which we have for Almighty God. And beyond that, Nemar, it says, Makalel Aviv V'Imo Mos Yumos. If a person curses his parents, one of his parents, he dies for that. It's a capital crime. V'Nemar, it says, Ish, Ish, Ki Yekalel Elokom. If a man curses God, V'Nosa Cheto. And it's a very severe punishment, also a capital crime. Hishva Kosev Birchas Av V'Eim L'Birchas HaMokom. The word bracha is a euphemism for the opposite. Even though hitting your parents, if you wound them, is a capital crime, we don't have a parallel with regard to God, because Hashem is, of course, not corporeal, he's not physical. And now the Gemara says, this whole hekesh, this whole equation between Kibud Avayim and Kibud Hashem is really compelling. Why? Sheshloshtan shutfim bo. Because you have three partners in your creation: Father, Mother, and Almighty God. Tana Rabbana, as we learned in a Braita, Shlosha Shutfim Hei Biyodam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Aviv, V'Imo. Now, who would you say has, you know, in a partnership, you always have to divvy up the partners, right, and see who has the majority. So who would you say has the majority? If I put Mom and Dad on one side, and Almighty God on the other, so how would you tally up the vote?
Hashem always wins.
Why would Hashem win in that case? Shlosha Shutfim Yodam. The three partners. So let's say you would create a cartel here, an agreement between the father and the mother. So listen to this interesting story I want to tell you. This is totally off the topic, but just stop. It's a nice story. There's a yeshiva in the Lower East Side of Manhattan called Tiferes Yerushalayim. The Rosh Yeshiva, all the years, he's no longer around, was Rav Moshe Feinstein. So there was a particular student in the class, in that yeshiva, who was excellent. And the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Moshe Feinstein, wanted to encourage the young man to stay in the yeshiva and not go out to take a job. And so this was an exceptional case. So he met with the parents. The Rosh Yeshiva is meeting with the parents. So the parents were not too keen on the idea of their son staying in yeshiva. So the father gets up and he says in front of Rav Moshe, he's a real scholar, he says, Rebbe, listen, we got the majority vote here because there are three partners in our son. Ah, said Rav Moshe, you don't understand. Because you want to divide it up into three partners, correct?
What time?
It's supposed to be at 7:30.
Yeah, that's us.
That's the program.
That's the problem.
Yeah. No problem. Thank you.
Okay. So here's what Rav Moshe said. Each one of you has 3/3. I'm sorry, 3/9, correct? Rav Moshe is turning to the two parents, and he says to the mom, you have 3/9, and to the dad, you have 3/9. But who are your parents? Now, God is a partner in each one, in the mother and the father. So he gets another third from each one of them. Now, if you tally that all together, then God gets 5/9. And therefore God wants your son to stay in the sheep. Anyway. But what I wanted to learn with you is this very powerful Gemara that equates the respect and the honor that we have to give our parents with that which we have to give to God. And it follows all the way through, even to Yira, which is reverence, and even to the case of Klola, of cursing. The Gemara elsewhere, in Masechta Yevamos, raises the possibility that if my parents command me to violate the Shabbos, perhaps I should listen to them. And the Gemara Bava Metzia, which you have at the bottom of page 1, has a case of a Kohen, and Minayin, Tana Rabbanan, Minayin Shem Amar Lo Aviv, Hitame, His father commands him to the Kohen, his son the Kohen, to go into the cemetery and become Tameh. That's a lot. That's a violation of a lotasa. Oh, Sha'amar lo al tachzir. Or, for example, the father commands his son not to return in an Aveda. Shalo yishmalo. How do we know that you shouldn't listen to your parents? Shenemar, because of a special yalfus, a special derivation, ish, imo, the aviv tiro, v'shabsosay tishmor ani Hashem. So if you notice, the Torah, in the context of reverence to parents, adds the observance of the Shabbos. What's the equation? Kulchem chayovim b'chvodi. To tell you that there's a limitation rule to how far you have to go with listening to your parents. The Gemara says, Taima, the reason why you don't listen to your parents in these cases is the kasav rachmanas shabsosay tishmoru. Because the Torah says, Ani Hashem. Cholav hachi. It's a typical Talmudic logic. If not for the pasuk Eshab Sosi Tishmoru, Havamin, I would have said Saisile. I should listen to my parents. So just keep this in mind, that we would listen to our parents to violate a lav in the case of a Kohen who has to go into a cemetery because his parents command him to, or not to return an Aveda, which is a lav. And we're going to speak about Chil Shabbos, which is certainly a very severe lav. And in all these cases, there's a havamina, salka daitachamina, we should listen to our parents. And why, says the Gemara on the bottom line on page 1? Hoil sins, the hukash, the Torah equated, kibud avaim, lichvodo, shalmoko. So we come full circle back to the original point that we saw in the Gemara in Kiddushin, that the Torah has elevated and upgraded the status of kibud avaim to that of Kavod Hashem. But the Torah adds a special rule that limits a blockade. You know, and the blockage is that when it comes to violating Lo Saseh, that far we don't go. But logically, based on the Hekesh, we would have said that I listen to my parents even if it means to override the Torah law. That puts Kibud Avim in a very special category. We don't find that by any other mitzvah in the Torah. Now let's go on in the Gemara and Kiddushin. This is on the top of your page 2. Bomi Nemi Rav Ula. They asked Rav Ula the following question. How far does the mitzvah of respect for one's parents go? Omar Lehem, he responded to them, Tzuru, go out and check out the following situation. Ma asa oved kochavim echad b'ashkelon. What did one individual non-Jew, he was an idolater even, what did he do in the city of Ashkelon? V'dom ben Asina Shmo, his name was Dom ben Asina. Pam achas bikshu chacham prakmatya. One time, the sages of Israel came to him, knocking on his door. They needed a certain raw materials that they would sell at a high price. Bishishim ribu schar. They're willing to pay him $600,000 for it. But the key to the storage house where all this material was lying underneath his father's head, and his father was sleeping. And he didn't wake up his father. Another story. Go check out my asa ovi kachamecha li aviv bi ashkelon v'dov ben asina shmo. It's interesting that all the stories of the guy all are about one individual guy. They couldn't find any stories about other guys. All right. Bikshu mimenu chachom avonim li eifot. He, Dov ben Asina, had in his possession those precious stones that they needed for the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. V'shishim ribu schar. They were willing to pay him an awesome sum of money. Enough money to keep Chai Lifeline going for a year or two. Okay. And what happened? Rav Kahana Masli Bishmonim Ribu, he said it was even 800,000. He didn't wake up his father. God gave him his reward. Imagine a paradu which is so rare to find, and he had one. He said to them, Yodeani Bachem, I know. This is a priceless treasure. It's, you know, like a Rembrandt painting. It goes for $50 million, right? I can ask you for all the money in the world. Atem nostim li, and you would pay it. Ela eini ani eini mevakish lechem el osom amshiv sadeti b'shvil kibud abba. The only money I would ask you is the amount of money that I lost in the past for not waking up disturbing my father. I respected him. The Omer Rav Chanina, when Rav Chanina heard this story, he added the following: Uma a kal v'chomer Uma misheinu mitzuva v'yose kach. If God took such good care of Dov ben Asina to guarantee that he would have the paraduma and make back the money that he lost, even though Dov ben Asina is a guy, he's not obligated in the mitzvah of kibud avim. It's not one of the seven. He's mitzuva v'yose. We, the Jewish people, who are obligated in this mitzvah, lachas kama v'kama. Because who's greater? Who gets more schar? One who does the mitzvah voluntarily or one who does it out of obligation?
Obligation.
Correct. The Omer Rav Chisda. God all mitzuviyosa and Mishaina mitzuviyosa. Now again, we're still back to the topic of how far kibud avim goes. We're skipping a few lines. The Gemara says, Ki osa rav dimi omar pam achas hayalavush sirkin shalzov. Rav Dimi said that there was a case of one of the Chachmei Yisrael. So far I think he's anonymous. And Lavush, he was wearing these beautiful gold garments. For Yosef ben Gedolei Romi. He was kind of the Jewish representative to the Roman officers. And he was sitting up there with all the greats of Rome. Ubas Imo. And his mother showed up. Vikar Aso Mimeno. And she ripped off his beautiful garments. Vitafkala al Rosha. And she hit him over the head. That's what she did to her son. V'yarkalo b'fanav. And she spit in front of him. What could be more humiliating? V'lo hichlima. And yet, he didn't embarrass her. So the Rambam paskins the following. This is the Rambam in Hilchas Mamrim Perikvov. Kibud ava'e mitzvahs esei gedola. V'chein mora ava'em shakal. The Torah waited. And the Rambam quotes the Gemara Kiddushin, equating the two. And then the Rambam goes on to say, "Heichanu kibud avim, afilu notlo kishal zehuvim shalo." The Rambam has a different variation of the story. The parent comes along and takes away your life savings, gold coins that were tied up in a bag, v'shlicho b'fanav liyam, and in front of his son, he takes his son's life earnings and throws them into the sea in such a way he can never get it back. Says the Rambam, lo yachlimam, he should not embarrass them. Velo yitzayer bifneim, and he should not show any anguish. He should be stone-faced. Velo yichas kenegdim, he shouldn't get angry. I mean, who could imagine such a thing? This is your life serving. Ella, says the Rambam, yekabel gzeiras hakosu v'yishtok. Rather, he should accept upon himself the decree of heaven, and he should be quiet. V'ad heichan moron, how far does the reverence go? Afilu ayolavish begodim chamudos. He's wearing these beautiful clothes. V'yoshev barash, and he's sitting up front. Bifnei kahal, in front of the community. Uba aviv v'imo, and his father, his mother, kam v'karu begodov. They rip off his clothes. V'yikob barash, they hit him over the head. V'yarkub in front of, they spit in front of him. Lo yachli mem, he shouldn't embarrass them. El yishto. But rather he should be silent. He's getting bopped over the head, spit in his face, and he's silent. Very easy thing to do, right? The Yiroid, he should be afraid. The Afachid, he should tremble. Me Melech Malchem Lochem, for the King of Kings, Shetzi Vo Bekach, who commanded him in this. She'ilu Melech Bos of Adam, Gazar all of Dover Shumitzar, Yesemize, Lohoy Yochel Afaches Bedover. If a human king, made of flesh and blood, would decree on something, he couldn't show any anguish about it. He couldn't kvetch or show facial features that indicate that he's not happy. Kal v'chomer, much more so, l'misha omar, v'hoya ha'olam kirtzono. For God in heaven who created the world. So the Rambam is already introducing into kibud avim this element of the divine command. You know, and that's got to move us and motivate us. Because otherwise, how can you possibly withstand the temptation, the natural response of getting angry at your parents or getting embarrassed and angry? and showing some expression of tsar, of anguish over the fact that your life earnings are thrown out, or your clothes are being ripped publicly and they're hitting you over the head. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, Tani Avimi Bereid Rabbi Avo. Avimi taught us the following. Excuse me. Yesh Machili Aviv Pisyoni. You could have someone who feeds his father Pisyoni. What's Pisyoni? Pisyoni, Rashi says, it's not here on your page. Rashi says Pisyoni is Slav. Now, Slav in English is called quail. I mean, in my parlance, I would call it like roast duck. So this guy is feeding his father a very, very expensive delicacy. Vitardo min olam. And yet, as a result, he's going to lose his share in the world to come. V'yesh matchino b'rechayim, and as a son who forces his father to work the mill, which is very hard, backbreaking work, umeviol l'chay olam haba, as a result of this action, he will inherit the world to come. It's counterintuitive. So if you take a look at Tosfos, just the first line in Tosfos on the bottom of page 2, v'tardo min olam. Pirush says Tosfos, Shenenash Olav, he'll be punished for this. Shemara Lo, he shows his father Tsar Ayin. Tsar Ayin means someone who's stingy. You know, he invites you to a meal, and every time you take a bite, you know, you can see he's clenching his teeth because he knows it's going to cost him another couple of bucks. Rashi quotes Yerushalmi here. Ubegemaris Yerushalmi, see I underlined it? On the second line. First Rashi says Shabakadu Bidvarim Dvarm Tov Nichumim, etc., etc. Then Rashi says, Ubigamaras Yerushalmi, and the Talmud Yerushalmi Goras, it teaches us Maisa Bishnehem. There was a story with two people. What happened? Maisa Biechod, one of them, Hayamachili Aviv Pisyoni, he was feeding his father this very fine delicacy. You know, he gave him a good juicy rib steak. Pamachas, one time, Amalo Aviv, his father turns to his son and says, "Me'ay l'cha kol elim," meaning, "Where do you get the money to pay for this?" Omar lo. So his son responds, "Saba." What's a saba?
Grandfather.
Yeah, grandfather. But here I think it means old man, right? Old man. Ma'ichbas l'cha. What do you give a hoot?
Yeah.
Meaning it's none of your
business.
Tchon v'achol. Just chew it up, choke on it, and swallow it. Klomar, Rashi says, La'os, chew on it, ve'echol, herheyu, he showed his father, shekashalo, it's very difficult for him. He's not enjoying this. He's just doing it perfunctorily. So he really embarrasses his father, because imagine using that kind of language to your old man, your father calling him an old man, and what do you give a hoot, it's none of your business, just chew it up and swallow it. Vishuv ma'isa v'echad, in another case, of an individual shaya tochein berechayim, he supported his family by working the mill. V'hayelo av zaken, and he had an elderly father. V'sholach hamelech b'shvil aviv, and the king sent a conscription notice to his father: "Come to the palace. I want you to work." And that was not a very pleasant thing to do. So what happened? So his son turns to his father. He says, "Abba, tchon." Again, the same word tchon, but here it doesn't mean chew it up. But work the mill, right? To grind up the wheat and the barley and everything. Vani elech tachtecha, and I will go in your place, lavodas hamelech, to work for the king. She'ein lo kitzva. It wasn't like a 1 month conscription notice, or even a year or 3 years. It was Ein Lo Kitzur, Rashi says. There was no limit. It could be a lifelong thing. So imagine this son. Let's imagine again, we could dramatize this. He's 25 years old. He's at the portal of his career, and he's willing to give it all up, to pack out, show up in place of his father just for the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av. It's very logical, right? Very moral, very simple, very, very natural. Let's go on to page 3. We'll stop in about 10 minutes, yeah? Amar Rabbi Avo, what's a case of Kibbutz Avayim? Can go Navimi Bri. He boasts about his son Avimi. Kiei mitzvahs kibbutz. He really knew how to do it. Why? Chamisha bonei samchim havile lavimi b'chayoviv. Even when Avimi's father, Rabbi Avo, the grandfather, was alive, Avimi had 5 sons who were samche. They were already mature young men. V'chi avi osu Rav Avo, and nevertheless, when Rabbi Avo would come along, kari abava, and he would knock on the door, on the gate, to entry, rohit, his son Avimi would run. Rohit always implies a certain kind of his slavos, you know, of enthusiasm and zeal. The Azilini went ahead, upasachle, and he opened the door for him. What could he have done easily? Send one of his sons, correct? He had 5 sons. Why did he have to do it himself? But it wouldn't be the same level of kibbutz. The Omar, and he would scream out as he's running towards the door, in, yes, yes, Ademotoi Sosom, until he got there, so you should know his father, and tell his father, I'm on the way. Yom Achad, one day, Omar Le, Rabbi Avo said to his son, Rav Avimi, Ashki on Maya, bring me a cup of water. Adi Aisile, until Avimi was able to bring him the water, fetch him the water. Nimna, Rabbi Avo fell asleep. So what did his son Rav Avimi do? Gochin means he bent over. Koyale, he stood over his father with a cup of water, Adi Yater, until he would wake up. In other words, he could have said, you know, let me go back to my work. Oh, my father's asleep. What difference does it make? Oh no. He hovered over him, showing respect, waiting for the first moment when his father would awake to give him the glass of water. And the Gemara says what Tzchari got. Then, I want to study with you a Gemara, Kiddushin Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon was the paradigm of Kibbutz Av. This is on the second line of the third source on your page. Rabbi Tarfon, Havilei Hahi Ima, he had a mother. Dechol Ema Stav Abois LeMesak LeFuria, whenever she wanted to go up onto the bed was very high, Gochin, he would bend down, Vesolikle. In other words, she would walk on him, on her son Rabbi Tarfon, who's the Gadol Adar, in order to climb up onto the bed. When she came down, Nachta, Aluye, he was a ladder for her. Also, Vekamishtabech Be Midrash. Now, the Yerushalmi expands on this. She came to the Beis HaMedrash to start boasting about how great her son's Kibbutz Av was. But the Yerushalmi has another point here. The Yerushalmi says that what happened was that Rabbi Tarfon fell ill, and his mother came to the Beis Medrash to ask the students to please pray on behalf of my son Rabbi Tarfon. And he's so great, look what he does for me, for Kibbutz Av. Amri Leh, what did the students of the Beis Medrash respond? Adayin lo higata lechatzi kibbutz. He didn't even do half of the mitzvah of kibbutz. Klum zarka arniki b'fanav liyam v'loch limasa. Did it ever happen that you would take his purse with all his money and throw it in front of him into the water, and he didn't respond? So my Rebbe Rabbi Soloveitchik asked the question: what kind of cruel, callous response was that on the part of the Bnei Beis HaMedrash? Here's a mother who came to ask, to beg, to implore the students to pray on behalf of her son who's ill. And all they could say is, Adayin lo higia lechatzi kibbutz. So my Rebbe said the following, a beautiful idea. He says, maybe Rabbi Tarfon was sent into this world. We never know what the purpose for which we were born and why we came down into this world from the Olam HaNeshamos. Maybe Rabbi Tarfon, we think he's here to teach Torah. Maybe there's another special reason why he came to this world. In addition to teaching Torah, he's got to be the paradigm to teach us Kibbutz Av. From him, we'll learn how to fulfill this mitzvah of Kibbutz Av, to bend down and become a ladder for his mother. So what did they say to the mothers? They said, Adayin lo higia lechatziki. He hasn't achieved even half of what he was meant to achieve in this world. Basically, they were praying on his behalf. The Gemara then tells us about Rav Yosef ki havishama kol kari de ima, when he heard the pitter patter of his mother, the walking of his mother from a distance. Omar, he declared, Eikum mekami shchina dasa. I will stand in front of the shchina who's coming. Imagine, he equated his mother with the shchina. Who could imagine it? Your mother's coming from a distance, you hear a pitter patter, you stand up almost by instinct, because the shchina, the God himself, his glory is coming. Omar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan made a very harsh statement. Ashrei Mishalo Chaman. Fortunate is he who never saw his parents. Meaning he was talking about himself. Rabbi Yochanan ki yibraso imo meis aviv. After his mother became pregnant, his father died. Yoldaso at the time of his birth, meisa imo v'chein abaye. So what's going on over here? Why would a person be fortunate not to have parents? Says Rashi. In the second line, Ashri Mishal Chaman, she efshal lekayim kvodam kecholat zorach. It's impossible. It's humanly impossible to fulfill this mitzvah kecholat zorach the way that the Torah envisions it, and do a perfect job. For who nena shaleh, and ultimately a person will be punished. So I ask you the following question. The Aruch HaShulchan says there's no brach on the mitzvah kibud av v'aim because it's a logical mitzvah, identical to the mitzvah that's given to all the nations of the world. They fulfill it. Again, for a different reason. They do it because of the logic, we do it because of the tzivui. But it's the same identical mitzvah. Does that mean that it's logical for a person to treat his parents equally to God himself? To override even Shabbos for the sake of kibud av v'aim, at least in the Havamid before the pasuk of Hashem Sosei Tishmoru? Not to wake up your parents at any expense, and if they fall asleep, to stand hovering over them with a cup of wine, a cup of water, I mean, and not to embarrass them or even get angry when they throw out your entire life savings in front of your eyes, or when they spit at you when you're sitting and they rip your clothes and you're sitting with the officers. And a person who makes his father grind the mill and he's zocha to olam haba, or a person who could equally, just as well, have sent one of his five sons to do the act, yeah. Or Rabbi Tarfon who bends over so his parents could stand there, Rabbi Yosef who stands up for the pitter-pat of his mother, and later on, I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, but another time maybe we'll talk about whether or not you're allowed to give your parents, if they're elderly and you can't handle them, over to a nurse or a doctor, to an old age home. And if you take a look at the Ravid, and at the bottom of page 4, which is the last line of page 4, he says, Ein zu ora nachona, it's not correct to give your parents to a nursing home. If a son or a daughter will leave his parents, who will take care of them? No one will do the same job. So I leave it, you know, with you to judge. You'll be the jury here and decide whether you think this mitzvah is logical. And we do it and we fulfill it according to the standards of the halakha, identical to that of the Umos HaOlam. It's true that there is a certain logic behind it, a gratitude and a respect that I owe my parents, but to such an extent, to the point to which Rabbi Yochanan says how fortunate I am, because it's impossible, it's just an impossibility to fill this mitzvah. That's how great it is. And the Rambam calls it Gzeiras HaKosam. You're standing in front of the Melech Malchem Lochem who's commanding you on this mitzvah. I would give an alternative answer why we don't make a bracha on kibud av v'aim. Because any mitzvah that depends upon someone else, you never know. I can offer you chesed, right. Tzedakah. I can offer to take you across the street to give you a lift. I can do all sorts of things. I can even offer my parents something. But who knows at the end of the day if I'll succeed or not? Maybe they'll decide, forget it. I don't need it. Change my mind. Maybe that's why there's no bracha. But the Aruch HaShulchan's argument and his approach that there's no bracha because this is something that's identical based on human logic to anything that's implemented by any person in the face of the earth. I don't know. Frankly speaking, I'm a big fan of the Aruch HaShulchan. I want you to get the wrong idea. But in this case, I don't know if we could actually accept this. So we'll stop here. Okay. Let's see if we can...